Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Ripples of Humanity. I'll be sharing interesting stories from people who are committed to creating change that can ripple within humanity. If you want to know more about the inspiration for this series, please have a listen to the previous introduction episode. For this episode today, I am taking you to the mountains in the north of India, in the Western Himalayas, to the state of Himachal Pradesh, where there is a rural village called Tilu, where the non-government organisation Sumpta Tilu was born. Devyani is an Indian woman who came to Tilu about 5 years ago when she was working and studying in the social sector. She quickly realised there were extremely unequal educational opportunities for students in the village. This inspired her to start supporting students who were keen to receive not only academic support, but also life skills, leadership growth, mentoring, and importantly, a community within the village. I'm speaking with Devyani to learn more about the journey of Sumpta Tilu, which has grown from meeting secretly with students in the jungle during COVID to supporting about 50 students in the village as a 24/7 space for them to connect, support, and learn together. We'll also be hearing from some of the Sumpta Tilu students about what the community means to them. I personally met Devyani in June 2024 while I was living in Dharamshala. She was wearing a Sumpta Tilu t-shirt, which has a beautiful logo one of the students designed. I was so curious to learn more, and then when she passionately explained what Sumpta Tilu was all about, I was really called to volunteer there and meet everyone and see for myself. I'm so grateful I got to spend time with the students and to see the impact this community has in their lives. And please bear with my substandard audio quality recording and editing. It's difficult to do this on the road, but I hope you enjoy anyway. Let's get into it. So I'm here at Sumpta Tilu with Devyani Pushpa, the founder of Sumpta Tilu. And we're just sitting on the bed at the moment at Sumpta Tilu in Tilu village. Devyani, thank you so much for being the first guest on this podcast. I wanted to first start with getting you to tell me a bit about Sumpta Tilu, where the vision came from and where the name came from as well.
Hey, hi. Thank you, Rachel, for inviting us. Thank you for being a part of the family so far. I think the word itself is close in acquaintance to the word family to me. Maybe Samta is something which is very close to me since my childhood, believing in the fact that everyone's equal, everyone's got samanya rights, everyone's gonna work with equity in the world, and we'll eliminate inequality or we'll eliminate all the discriminatory factors. But here the name came into the existence because of the village itself. The village is Tilu, so we wanna believe in the fact that everyone's equal, and what we want to make the equal world is about educating each other equally with all the equal resources, opportunities like the other people in the village or big cities or metropolitan cities schools. So basically the vision here always started with we are learning and we are teaching and learning other people also, with other people also. So we have also given a tagline to it, which is padhenge aur padhayenge, which clearly means that we are going to learn and we are going to help in this journey of learning and leading with the help of our other fellow students, our other fellow family members, with the entire community. So we are all equal, like Sumpta, and where we are based is Tilu. So it becomes Sumpta Tilu as an organization, which is also a family of a whole community of Gaddi people. Those people reside in the hills in Himachal Pradesh and some other castes also. And yeah, this is how we all started.
Thank you. And so how did you come to Tilu? What's your journey to get here in a summary?
It all started in 2019. I came here to do a sort of an internship and field work for my PhD. And I resided in the village Tilu, randomly landed up here, finding a room. And yeah, that's how I met the people in the village and specifically students. And I realized they really need someone to assist them or maybe a push to like study. They're all just occupied in doing all the household chores after school hours and maybe just assisting their fathers in the fields, maybe, you know, working in some hotels, maybe not thinking about the vision beyond this village. So that's how it all started. Like, staying with them only made me realize for almost 2.5 years, back in 2019 till 2022, I stayed here. And yeah, all these years was in realization, maybe these people need me, and maybe the privilege I have to take forward with, you know, and maybe I want to share that privilege with the people, those who do not have it. And yeah, with the vision of it, that nobody, I think, in the village has ever gone to Delhi also for some educational purposes or for attending some conference maybe. And I've had the privilege to have that. And maybe like sharing that with the village and the people, and maybe that connection that I built throughout these years. And yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And so when you came here, what were you studying at that time?
I completed my master's back in 2019. I just completed my post-grad, and post my post-graduation, I came here to do like a field research sort of with an organization.
Mm.
So that wasn't a plan landing up to this place. That was just impromptu. Mm. Maybe some destiny wanted to take me here. I don't know.
Yeah, so you were kind of guided to be here.
Yeah.
And then at what point did you know that it came from being something a bit more informal with the village students to then becoming something that you thought could grow into an NGO is today?
That's really interesting to answer also, because all these years when I was in 2019 staying here, 2020, mid-2021, I realized that I'm from a background which includes only research and law and basically majors in political science honors. I do not have any hold or degree for teaching or basically in teaching. So in India, you basically have a degree of B.Ed or M.Ed and you become a professional teacher, or you clear some sort of exam and you become a lecturer. But nowhere counts the passion here for teaching. So what I believe in, I don't believe in degrees so far. I believe if you're passionate enough to like change a life in teaching maybe, or in guiding the student, or maybe becoming the mentor of the student, online mentor itself works. So all of these like factors took me to a decision where I wanted to go back to Delhi and then come back to Tillu again to like continue this 24/7 or continue this professionally. So back in 2021 mid, I went back to Delhi, and 2023 Jan I came back, and when I like 100% gave myself to an office space now particularly I decided back in 2022 when I thought of registering it. So started in 2019 2020, I was realizing, I think making a hold of the things, I think maybe building relationships and maybe understanding these students or the kids or the village or how the sector works basically. And 2021, I decided I want to take some degree and want to be in the hold of the place or people with a sort of professional training, that I'm teaching these kids or I'm leading a team who are teaching, but do I know how to teach? Do I even have a professional training in that? And then I thought of like pursuing it professionally back in like 2022, 2023, and to and fro from the city, from the town, from here to Delhi, Delhi to here, in between my degree, in between my fellowship. And yeah, that's how it all went. From 2019 till 2023 mid, we were on a journey of like believing the fact that we are there for each other as a family in Tillu. We were there for each other. I wasn't here fully present for a long time, but I was here through the calls, through the online G meets, through my local volunteers and friends. There were people who were assisting this project when I wasn't here. So that's why I could come back with the belief that people are still there. They're my people who are waiting for me to come back and, you know, start it all over again with a bang. Now I'm 24/7 doing this. I do not have a job.
Yeah.
And I'm jobless since a year now almost. So managing everything on my own, and the entire team is beautiful to work with. And maybe one of the purposes, I worked in a lot of social sectors, and I really, really wanted to create a safe space for my colleagues and for myself. And I realized that is what one thing a lot of social sectors are lacking in. So you basically got to have a space which is your sacred space to work with. We are basically doing samaj seva in Hindi, you call social sector, social work. And this area, what you're working in is full of empathy and, you know, full of hurdles and challenges, full of kindness a lot of times. So there are a lot of strong emotions you got to portray if you're playing in this, if you're being in this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you basically went from coming here in your work in the social sector to then seeing there was a space for you to contribute something.
Yes.
And then you decided that it was more important for you to step away and go do some more training while this was still informally running.
Yeah.
And then you came back and that was in 2023.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then from there, how has the journey been?
I think earlier it used to be like we are together, we are in Samta Tillu, this is the Tillu village and this is an organization here. Now it's more of a professional or more of a very, very sincere space for a lot of people. I can't call it sacred, but it's a very sincere, it's sort of a growth in a sense where students are feeling so safe, so secured in a way. They want to spend 8 hours of their day in their vacations or summer vacations to be here and learn and read and write. There's a space. The growth I feel has, I think, reached from a small place where I had a small room where we were like accommodating 20, 30 kids all together in a small hall sort of a room. And now we have a big space to like accommodate 40, 50 students together. And, you know, growing from five students back in 2019 to now around 45 students is, I think, also sort of a growth. We were covering one village, which was just Tillu. Now we have small sub adjoining villages here in the hills, those of, you know, sending their students with us. So growth in the sense, when I see my students, the kid who was 3 is 8 now.
Yeah.
From the kid you have seen who is 3, very, very young, to reaching 8 is also a sort of a growth. I do not want to pinpoint on particular growths of that student, but that has reached a certain age with us and we see the growth in them. And yeah, because of the team and students, I think I was hooked to come back to the point, which was this. I think the students, when I was in Delhi back in 2022, I was taking the degree, I was with Teach for India and I was staying in, residing in Delhi only. I think I did not teach them in 10th grade, the 10th batch in 2021, and I was just assisting them on calls and other words. The growth I could see was they were diligently asking me what to do. That is also one growth of the organization, who's claiming to work with the rural kids and improving their lives maybe, or, you know, providing them resources, but is not keeping those students in the loop. Here the growth is, we are a one team here. There's this sort of a transparency. There's a sort of authority to all of students in their lives itself, their leaders, their students, and their managers here, their coordinators here. So like the growth from random students just sitting in the open ground, asking the cafe wale people and other people to just accommodate us and give us a space to like read and study, and be like hiding in the jungles from COVID, in the COVID-19 when there were patrolling of police and people asking, what are you doing? And kids are coming up and saying, we want to learn. We're hiding in the jungles because schools are not opening yet and we want to learn with all of us together.
So you were supporting the children hiding in the jungles, teaching them during COVID.
Yes.
Wow, what a memory.
That's so special. That's a very special memory of all of us, that we used to like do anything and everything to study.
Yeah.
That was one point that made me realize that I want to come back and do it and take it as soon as possible. People do realize this project or like having your own organization post like 40s and 50s, when you basically have your own capital, you earn enough, you've lived a proper professional corporate life, now you want to come back and give it to the society. What I realized back in 2019 and 20, COVID happened quickly and rapidly, and it spread through hell. I could not see a lot of people from my friends and family were dying. So I was not able to comprehend a lot of bad news around me, a lot of things around me, and I could sense that if I'm waiting for the 50s and 40s to be crossed to have a project like this, to where you just have to help people. For say you just have to help people, and you're waiting for 10-15 years to pass down and then do something, I think that's not the calling. I think the calling is you got to do it right now. So that's what I think COVID only made me realize, that I want to pursue it as soon as possible because people are dying. People of my age were dying that time. So I think one of those things took me here.
That's awesome. And you What cycle are you trying to break here in the village, in Tulu and the surrounding villages?
I think maybe allowing the students to understand what their skill set area is, what their capacity is, what their capability is, what they're definitely capable of and what they're definitely not capable of. Maybe not everyone here. Teaching does not just include teaching academics things. Teaching also any skill set maybe. Maybe some students are good at achieving 90% and some are very, 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 very happily living with 60, 70 or 50. So why not support 50? So yeah, I think one of the things that I wanted to remove from, you know, the mindsets in the village were that you cannot have your girl be in the house after 18. She should be married. She should be given it to somebody else. And she should be in her home. That home is the second home, the partner's home. And yeah, for the boys, maybe just following their chacha, their mama or their father in the same league, just doing the household chores or daily wages, earning through that. And maybe not visioning and aiming for big goals because they do not see a role model in the entire community or family. And maybe to get out, to maybe making them believe, maybe the first generation or the first layer of the 12th graders or college goers in the village will set some examples. We're hoping so, crossing the fingers. Maybe they're the ones, I keep telling the students, you are the ones who are going to change the mindsets in the village. Because you are going to go to the college now, you're the first people from your house, for, you know, first layer of people from your family and community going to the villages. So now you're responsible to set that example in the village. Maybe trying to show them the other side of the world also, which is where women are not married till 30, where it's okay to not have a boy kid in the house, where it's okay to earn good money, and it's okay to love any sort of, you know, partner who you wish to be with. And it's okay to have a lot of things in life, which is in general very, very common in cities and other metropolitan areas. Yeah. But it's not here.
Yeah.
So, and maybe showing that other world and other perspective to the kids also. Okay, you do not have to rely on whatever you get in the village or be learning in the village. There is this other world which you have not entered yet. Village people in the village have not gone to Bhaksu or Dharamkot also, for say.
Yeah.
They're born here and they're 15, 17, 18, but they do not, they haven't seen McLeodganj. So how, I mean, the amount of like, and for this also, this is not just, they can't reach McLeodganj, they do not have capital to reach there. It's also, women cannot go there all alone because it's not safe, or maybe not, they don't find the capability in the women to walk alone maybe. And for boys, then they should not be going out of the houses because they'll be into bad company maybe. So I think getting out of this fear of, you know, keeping the child close to your heart and making, not giving the enough opportunities basically to the child. If you tell them that your child is going to get a training in Chandigarh for 2 months, for say, it will be very hard to convince the family. But the child is capable.
Yeah.
And it's a male child. There's no worry about the ladki ladka and boy girl thing also here. Male child, 18 years old for say, is not able to convince the family and parents that I really want to go out and learn something. So maybe changing that mindset.
Yeah. So how are you finding that? Have you had any pushback from the parents in the village of the children who you're supporting to step out of what might be the traditional way of being?
But I think I didn't start it too fast. Took like it's steady, it's very slow. So almost 6 years of building a relationship in the village has reached somewhere where I'm the one who's gonna tell you what to do, because I am the one who's taking care of and making you understand all these years, and I'm the one you could see is helping amongst all your family members also. You count me in your number one. Why? Because we were here to help each other, and I could believe the fact that if I'm helping you, you're helping me too, in giving me the shelter, in giving me the love, in giving me the space of your community, of your, this is your community, this is your village, I'm the outsider here. So maybe now I don't get those. Earlier also, I didn't start it this way, that I'm running and pushing and asking every household, you know, send your kid here, do this, do that, we're having this, we're having this. No, not at all. Nothing ran that quickly that I had to see some setbacks from the village or from the parents or other family members. It all went very smooth. I not only took care of their family members, also their, I think, some stakeholders in the family. Not just your father is the main person, sole breadwinner in the family, in Indian families. There's this father's father also who's waiting, you know, for your question or answer to be answered. There's this another chacha, mama, relative also, uncle who's going to question and answer. So these are like, there's a chain of all of that. So to break that chain, or, you know, to run away from that chain wasn't an easy idea or, you know, a solution. So I started it slowly and steadily. I lived here in the village for almost 3 years, then went back for 2 years, and in those 2 years I was to and fro from the city. I kept coming back here, so it wasn't any time where, you know, they could sense that this person was come and promised and did sort of things here and now it's vanished all of a sudden. So I didn't vanish, so that's how I think it.
So you earn respect.
Earn respect in a way.
Can we move on now to hearing about what Sumpta Tulu offers the community and what your role looks like, Devyani?
So I am Devyani, who wakes up 5-6 in the morning. I meditate every day before starting my day, and what I work in Sumpta Tulu, I think I run this organization with the fellow mates and with my other team members and students, collaboratively and collectively for each other, maybe trying to help each other to become leaders and learners. And I don't just take up the classes for the students, I also counsel them for different career growths and paths, and maybe doing all the admin department also. Maybe I'm the first person in the team who's being used as a, what do we call it, computer checker. Maybe you file something and you want someone to cross-check something, so I'm the one who cross-checks everything that is happening in Sumpta Tulu. That's what I call myself, and I'm a cross-checker here who would cross-check whatever you're doing. And I'm here to suggest and, you know, work in an overview. We would call Sumpta Tulu to be a place where I'm just waking up every day and planning the entire day with the students, for the students, by the students. So basically I assist in the team. A lot of times I hear students talking about Didi is everything here, Didi has started this, Didi came here to us back in so and so. But what I really, really want to emphasize here on is that Didi stayed. That's the one thing that, you know, I would want every volunteer to also feel and think about. You stayed, you're staying, and you're staying in touch means two different things altogether. You're going out of the place, you're transitioning to your world, but you're still there with us in the groups, maybe, or maybe by one of your messages in the entire month would make our next one year. And so I'm here to assist, maybe, you know, to assist whatever is happening right now, because this time I've given the responsibilities to the first layer of leaders, maybe to the 12th graders, maybe to other team members, to even volunteers, to my family who's here, to whosoever is like going to come here and be here. Like right now you are the mentor here, you're going to lead the entire office. There's no hierarchy, of course, but maybe you're there so that I can assist. Maybe I can do other things also in the organization, the bahar ka, in the outside work, and, you know, and a lot of other departments that I need to handle on my own only, but I'm here to assist the entire village, maybe. So I'm here to suggest, to give you opinion, to maybe give you the best solution in the team, and want to really, really work backhand only all my life. I do not want to be that face who talks about I am the founder who's doing this. No, I am the employee here. You all are the founders here who are standing tall with me, and, you know, helping, and, you know, spending your time to even take the interview means everything to us. So I think you are the one who's, you know, running this, and I want to be a part of it. I'm still a part.
That's so beautiful. You've really created like this collective community model. And so the essence of it is that, like, students go to school in the village, and then you've created this space for them to come after school, before school, anytime. So it's 24/7.
They can stay here.
And you have workshops here on
different skill sets, yoga, maybe on some meditative activities, or art and design, science workshop, on environment and module, whatever is required right now for the time being.
Okay. You said something to me in a conversation we've had previously that this, you see this as your end goal, like this, what you do here, and like you're so established here, you're living here, your family lives here as well, which is so beautiful. And I see your mother, you know, cooking for the children in the village and for everyone, and it's beautiful. So could you explain, like, that when did you feel this is my end goal? this is what I want. This is what I want. Like, I'm going to commit to this fully.
I think I can't specifically give you a date, but I think throughout 2019, 2020, 2021, almost three and a half years of living here with the students, and then deciding to pursue altogether a new degree for them and for this cause, for this work, I think that maybe made me realize that I'm not a big city person at all. When I was living here for almost 3 years, I could just sense that I'm a very simple person inside. I'm into the world where I need a bag which is 10,000K, or I need to wear good clothes because other people are wearing, or I like it sometimes, but deep inside I do not want this. I'm not rushing after money here. I'm not rushing after big city life or something. Lived in Delhi for almost 8 years, and I could sense almost those 8 years could not give me the amount of happiness I got here in a month or two or a year. So almost realizing it in a span of like 3 years made me realize that this is what my end goal is. Yeah. I'm going to come back. That's what the first point was always, because a lot of people came here, stayed here. Kids had interaction with them, and they kept telling me also, you know, that bhaiya came, that didi came, but she went back. Nobody comes back. That was the only setback you were asking me, the challenge I was facing. I was not able to make them realize that I'm not going back. I am going back to come back. So there's a reason, there's a sort of, I think, conclusion to everything, that I'm going, but I'm coming back. I'm going right now to come back only. So yeah, it all like went smoothly that way. Yeah,
That's so cool. I love that. With where you've come from, such a grassroots place, how are you funded? And you mentioned like you're not working or anything, so you're just doing this, and how are you funded, and what's your vision for the future?
When we talk about funds, I'm too casual to answer. We're funded by rich friends, I would say. We're funded by people working with us by heart. We are not funded officially by any organization or any potential funder, but we are funded by people, those who really, really believe in the cause, have seen me working all these years in different sectors and with different people and communities, and people believing in the fact that there's something authentic happening. So that's one reason I call people here at the place. I do not call and ask and pitch for the funds. I straight away tell them to reach my place, to reach our place, to see, witness, and then think about giving something to us. And it is not just monetary funds that we are looking for. We are looking for anything. Sort of a yoga mat you're not using, we would love to have it for our next 10 picnics, and this is going to help, big help for us. So not funded officially by any of the organizations or funders, but we are funded by people, those who really, really believe the fact that we're doing something on the ground, on the field, and that's authentic, that's real.
And that's incredible that I guess you've built those networks up and you have this faith that you've built what you wanted to, and the funds will come somehow, somewhere.
Slow and steady.
I like that. And What's been the biggest setback you've had, if anything, since you've started, and how did you overcome it?
I think the biggest setback has always been, I think, about different mindsets, because the village and the people in village have a very different mindset than, you know, comparing it with their own students, their own family members. I think one of the challenges were always finding a good place who would allow almost 40 students in a day to enter their house, to a tenant's house, and, you know, make noise and nobody says anything, and you're allowed to like run a sort of a small library office or hostel, you know, in a place which is not approved by anybody who would, you know, give you a space. Nobody would want to give a space to almost 50 people and just earn a sort of sum of amount which is, for you know, equivalent to one person's expense. So like setback would be, I'll speak in very simple words, would be finding an office space in the village. Because you yourself is an independent woman from some Dilli ki ladki, they would call you, from some metropolitan city, they would imagine, why would they trust you at first place? You're an outsider. So maybe the finding the perfect place for the students to accommodate, to learn, to be, to create an office space. And we're still struggling with that. We are finding a small land near the Tillu, and we want to like keep our office in the village, starting from this point to in the village only. And but there's a lack of land, there are no places as such, but we're still hoping and finding. So like finding the place and like having it for a long, because in India you have a rent agreement for almost 11 months minimum.
Mm.
So post 11 months you're going to find another place, or it depends on the landlord if that person is going to keep you or not. So yeah, maybe the setbacks also, not having digital media in the world, in the village, not having digital mobile phones. Mm. We have almost 70 members in the village who are working with us. But in our WhatsApp group, we're almost 40. Because 30 households do not have phones. Maybe that tech thing we are lacking in. Maybe we want 5 printers here to like back-to-back print resources for students, question papers for say their projects and everything. Yeah, lacking with the tech things for now, and we're hoping for good funds and we'll continue moving forward with it. Yeah.
And I see how hard you're working in the community to try and get funding for different things.
Yeah,
you know, like anything can help. And what's been your proudest moment? Like, I mean, or can you give an example of something, even if it's a student that you've seen achieve something, or just where you've just felt really like this is why I built this.
I think to create that safe space, I always say that I am working with this organization right now. I'm not a co-founder or a founder here. I am working in Samta Dillu because I wanted a safe space for myself. Mm. And I always I always felt that I wasn't safe in the places I worked with. I wasn't feeling myself to be here. So one thing that I'm proud about, that the people, the students, the team have started feeling this is a safe space for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all coming together and sharing. If one person has gone through something very personal in the village, one of the students for say, that student has the liberty to just come here and talk to any of the team members and feel very safe. And the safe thing I'm using for the confidentiality also, that they're very, very confident that this information is not going to be passed. And for kids, what we really, really want, as a kid I lacked, was a safe space. That I wanted a space where, you know, there's this therapist Didi or Bhaiya is going to just listen to me, what I'm feeling. So maybe I'm proud about the fact that the students are now vocally talking about their miseries, maybe, you know. Mm. They're being vulnerable, they're being themselves, and that's what we aimed for in the beginning only, that I want people and students to come together and feel that this is their space. So that has grown all these years. Yeah.
Just to confirm, when you say Didi in the in the interview, what do you mean by that?
That's equivalent to sister. Or dear friend.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
Dearest friend or sister. So all the students call me Didi. So I'm the dearest Didi, their sister, their sibling, their best friend. And to the males, they call Bhaiya.
Bhaiya.
So Bhaiya is the sir. That we don't want to create that hierarchy here.
Yeah.
So using madams and sirs are usually in the corporate sector in India or in a professional world.
Mm.
So here everyone's Didis and Bhaiyas, and everyone's like your own relative. We're all together in it. We do not know things. You do not know things. We'll search it together on YouTube and learn.
Yeah,
so
it's
no
beautiful.
Worries at all.
And I've loved that coming here as well. I'm everyone's Didi, and it's just magical. And your mother is my mom.
Your mother.
You know,
yeah,
it's just.
It's
lovely.
It's just
Universal
mom, she is.
Yeah. So nice. Oh, yeah. Lovely. Okay, I had a question about what you sacrifice. You know, this is a big load that you've taken on. Like, it's 24/7 basically. Mm. You're running this place, and I'm sure you're thinking about it all the time, and you're very passionate about it. But do you miss anything that you may have sacrificed to be doing this?
Very funny it is to say, these days I have a lot of weddings to attend of my close friends, and they're all planning their bachelor trips to Goa, Thailand, Bangkok. So I think I'm missing on all of those things, and I'm not feeling sad or regret about it, but I think that's the only thing I'm missing out on. Or maybe I am not fond of anything so far. I feel like I've not attached myself to anything that I don't miss my hometown, I'll tell you honestly. I don't miss the place I was in. Last year I went to Kerala, I had so much fun. And right now also I want to go to some place and, you know, have a good vacation, but I cannot because I want to be here. I have to be here. There's no other option too. But I have to go to my hometown for some work. So maybe I keep telling my students also, maybe sacrificing the whole point here, really. I have sacrificed the entire point of having a fascinated, fancy life only. So that's what big one sacrifice you gotta do. The other things like surpass only, that they're overpowered by this sacrifice. I don't feel like going to some mall and buying some random things. Rather, I would think about thrifting from somebody.
Yeah.
Or there are a lot of people who, you know, donate us clothes, bags and slippers. I am amongst the students only taking out and picking out things for myself from those lots only.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there's nothing I miss about. I feel like I have friends like family that are always there to support, to give me the luxury, still the luxury of giving me some sort of fancy bag or shit or calling me to parties maybe. It's not missing out on anything or not missing anything at all. I think I've made that peace with my mind that this is what I love. I love the nature. You do not get these trees, air, water, animals in the cities. And I am a fond of that person. So,
That's all beautiful. And I see the structure you're building here, and it's a model of empowerment as well. Like, so that if you did need to step away at some point, things could still function here.
Yeah.
Like, I see you do that with the students, with the older students.
Yeah.
They mentor the younger students, you know, the people who might be working here, volunteering here. Mm. You empower them to take charge and do things. So you've done really well in that area, I can tell. And just on you personally, I guess, how do you find keeping yourself grounded? Is there anything in particular that you do, or does that just happen naturally with what you're doing and following your passion and purpose?
I think keeping myself grounded, or, you know, oneself grounded, maybe I think always sharing things you have around you. So I think I'm always, not always I can say, but I'm most of the time calm and relaxed. And as you can see, I'll wear anything and go and meet anybody and talk and spend time with kids. But what keeps me grounded is, like, I'm one of those people only, those who are here, and I'm not the president or CEO of this company, sort of. I am the person living with you. I am sharing the same clothes with you. I'm eating in the same plates, and we're living in the same village, and I'm all yours and you're all mine. So I think that keeps you grounded here. So there's nothing, no experiment or no course I'm doing on being grounded here. I think sharing, maybe the word that has come to me, grounded, being grounding.
Yeah.
Caring, sharing everything you have around you. Is that's what I say. I have no attachment to things. I do have attachment to a lot of things, but if I'm open to share anything, there's this open book who's sharing anything with you, I do not feel very attached to any of the materialistic world, maybe not feeling anything like that I really, really need in life to be grounded. I don't want to be grounded with a perspective or with a vision. I want to be grounded as in I'm grounded in general, with a subtle smile on my face, because I'm one of you. So maybe that keeps you grounded in the village specifically, and specifically when you're in a social sector or, you know, in a workplace like this, you gotta believe that you're not the one who's doing anything. If they're not there, they're not your audience, you're nothing. So that's what one thing in social sectors we believe, we forget. We mostly forget. We often forget. Hum kuch nahi hai, we speak in Hindi, that we're nothing. If these students don't turn up tomorrow, all of these 40 students make a gang and they don't turn up tomorrow, what am I? Nothing. So you gotta believe in the fact we're both running together. We're both running this. So this is what one transparency we have in the team is, ki all of the, this is weird to say because I don't think anywhere happens, all of our team members, especially the team leaders, do know about the fundings we get so far, do know about which person has paid 10 rupees, 100 rupees or 500 rupees. So now Rachel Didi has given us some sort of money, one of the students know it, the entire village do know it. And we also segregate money that way. So we're not running an organization which is officially getting funds by somebody or, you know, some organization. We're running that way. If I've got money which is like 5,000 rupees extra in a month, I would find some 5 houses in the village, discuss it in the team. You think that family needs money right now? You think that student's papa is working these days? Do you think how much is the electricity bill you got in the... So we all discuss about the money, and that's how we segregate things and money. Even with the material also, if we get some gifts and specific goodies, for say 10 goodies and we are 40 here, so the student leaders and other student team members and everyone will sit together and decide, do you think you deserve this month? Have you been this disciplined, or, you know, were you this diligent in studying and, you know, coming to tuition or doing other skill set programs or workshops? Were you there 100%? Do you think you believe it? You deserve this? That's how we decide for on things. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, it's such a collaborative model.
So I keep telling them, I don't want money. We all need money and we'll all run it together.
Yeah, and I really get that sense here, being here. it's beautiful. I guess you kind of took this place off the ground, but I can feel your hesitation to be like a hierarchy and to be at the top. You know, it's such a collaborative model. Who in your life has influenced you, or like, yeah, influenced you the most? It could be a person, or I mean people, or like,
I think kids only. I've been very, very, I don't know why I pursued some other degree. I was always curious to know what is in the mind, what is in the small mind. So I think some inspiration, or, you know, somebody I look up to. I think all the kids I meet every day in the metro or in the bus station, I look at kids and I wonder what are you going to have next, and who are you, and what are you thinking? I think from the age of like, from the months they're the newborn to I think 15, 18, I'm to the kid who's 15 or 18 years old, I'm really curious. I think that curiosity took me here also, one of the things, maybe, I don't know.
Cool, I love that. And apart from trying to find a new sort of location for the office, what else do you have as a vision for Samtitilu? I'm sure you have lots of things in your mind of how it can grow and evolve and shape. And I know you're taking it slowly, slowly, but is there something you have for the future? And I'd love to check in with you some point in the future to see how things are going.
Sure, thanks for saying that. But yeah, the next vision would be an alternative school model sort of for the students. So right now we are having a sort of a library space for them. But next steps would be they're having this sort of 1 year or 2 year program, which is a skill-based program for the school-going students that is going to prepare them for the, I think, outside world, maybe the professional world that they're going to enter after 12th. Because there are exams and there are positions in India you can get into just after passing 12th grade, your higher grade, just after your school life. So I think maybe we're still in the process. That's my next 5 years plan, that after having a land or a place for the students to like study, come, get classes, take classes, get resources, live here, stay here, go back to an alternative school, which is sort of a school which is run by different facilitators, have different skill set trainings, programs, subjects, academic work, and maybe working for different age groups of students, different skill sets, and
that's awesome. The dream.
That's the big dream right now, but that's gonna be there someday.
That's nice. And just for fun, is there anything you can share that people in the village here wouldn't know about you?
You could hear from the laugh only. I think most of them know a lot of people know a lot of things about me. But I think they do not know that I'm really, really rebellious.
Because you were rebellious.
And they do not know about my childhood. I was a rebel kid. I myself could not listen to anybody in the world. How would I, you know, I think in the village people know that I'm really hardworking and I'm confident about my vision. And maybe they call me Devyani. So my name is Devyani, but a lot of aunties and uncles can't call Devyani properly. So they call me Devyani. Devyani is basically crazy person. So I love being called that way. Nice. I am so crazy. So they know Devyani is going to get out of these kids. Devyani is going to do something for the village, they believe. But they do not know that I'm really rebellious. That this is not something I'm saying it on your face.
What's the most rebellious thing you've done?
I think I jumped from a running train to like get my laptop from the station. And I left my laptop in the station and the running train was running. I was on the window of like a movie and I just jumped. I want to get back my laptop. It's worth 1 lakh. I can't spend it again. So and I've been fighting with my parents. Like fighting with my parents. Not exactly fighting, but being rebel in the conservative household I was born to, that I want to go out, I'm going to wear this, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to do this. I am not going to ask you, you are not going to ask me. That's what the deal is all about. So I think the entire village knows that Diwani, the crazy person, is actually here to do something, but they don't know the rebelliousness in me. If you stop us, including Diwani, someday, I think you don't know the willpower, the dream, where that this dream is coming from. I think from a personal experience also, born in a very conservative family, didn't allow me to do a lot of things. Maybe I wanted to be a fashion designer and I was privileged enough to be one. Maybe I wanted to be an air hostess and why am I landing here and doing this? Maybe I wanted to do a lot of other things which I could not because I wasn't able to raise the voice. I think maybe wasn't that rebellious at that time. That was in need. I don't know, so I think the village does not know that I'm a party person also.
A party person,
But they do know that I'm a party person because I keep dancing and we keep dance classes and other sessions to dance like that only after the workshops.
It's been so nice to speak and I really hope that we can touch base again.
Of course.
In the future to see how things are going.
Yeah.
And how can people help at the moment? Like, how do people support Sumpta Tilu? How are you asking for support or open to support? You mentioned earlier that you're open to all different kinds, but what's the best way for people to join?
I think maybe the campaign vision that the students have decided this year, and the campaign is about 10 rupee club. So we're just spreading the word about our campaign and about our organization through this 10 rupee club, where you're asked to pay us 10 bucks and just follow us.
So 10 rupees is the equivalent of about 20 cents in Australia, if we're talking about. So it's not much. A bit less, 15 cents.
So 10 rupees, not just you, but ask 10 of your friends also, 5 of your friends also, members also, random people you meet someday and you want to tell them about one of the places you believe that person or the place is being in a very good cause or working towards a good cause. Just spread the word about the campaign. So this is how right now the students have thought of. This is how we're going to build the audience. This is how we're going to be recognized in the team or in the village or in the, I think, next some level. So yeah, I think that way, and maybe some, not just monetary funds, I repeat again, we're not looking for monetary funds. You have a spare phone, you aren't using it from the last 3 years, and you think of selling it to someone, and we would want you to think about us, that's all. You're throwing a t-shirt and you feel like, oh, it's an old one, we don't feel like wearing it anymore. I would want you to keep it safe and parcel it to us. That you should worth million things to us. So like sort of anything, any of your guides or maybe your books and maybe anything for that matter. So we're open to getting curtains also. These curtains are being gifted by one of my friends in the office. So these are not even our curtains. Matt has been gifted by some other friend in the office. So anything would work. We're not just looking for the funds monetary, but anything would work.
Amazing. Thanks Deviani.
Thank you so much. Bye. Rachel, thank you.
So now we are lucky enough to hear from some of the students who will share what Sumpta Tilu means to them. Please stay with it, even if the audio quality isn't perfect. You will even get to experience some classic India car honking in the background. Yay!
My name is Sahil and my future hope is I hope that we grow so much there that other student nearby Tilu can also come here, get an opportunity to grow with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice luck. Thank you.
Hi, myself Kavita. When I am here Sumpta Tilu, I have motivated to become a great writer. So, thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
My name is Ishita. I hope we will get good marks in our college and school. And this marks we encourage our other jobs, future time. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
So my name is Arjun and I am a member of this family, Samta Tillu. Samta Tillu is really a nice organization, a family who help us in every way to learn, to study, to make career, which is possible. And I would like to share my personal experience. I have become a member of this family 1 year ago, and before that I have not that much confidence to talk with other and talk with others, but after joining this family I gained my confidence. I made a lot of friends here. I came here always to get free space. Before I was a member of this family, I was an average student. But after I joined this organization, I got 90% plus marks because of the help of Achyuvya and Devyanidhi, which is really good at teaching. They taught us everything that that is possible, and I had a really good experience, really great experience here. That's it.
Thank you, Ash.
There are a lot of things that I can't explain, but I really enjoyed.
Yeah. And what do you hope for your future when you go to college?
I want to be a artist. That's why I am doing course in college, which is called BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts. After that, I'll do MA in BFA. And I think the Didi Bhaiya of here, Devyanidhi and Achyuvya, will help me to achieve my goal. And I want this organization to grow large also. So this organization, this family, can help others too.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Arjun.
Thank you.
Anyone here? You say your name first.
My name is Sakshi. We starting liking study, and I love this place. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Only one word: work hard and run fast.
Thank you.
It does not matter how slowly you go, as long as you do not stop. Thank you. My name is Bhavita.
Thank you.
Okay, my personal growth here was like, before joining this place, academics was just a pressure and it was zero, graph was low. After joining this place, my academics, like the graph went up, and I felt like studying is easier here, and I help other students to study. Many didis and bhaiyas helped me to study, and that's all.
Yeah, thank you.
Graph went up, and now my parents are also happy because academics are good now, and I'm also happy.
That's great. What's your name?
Rishant.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Myself, Kavita. I am a senior leader of Samta Tillu. Samta Tillu is a non-government organization. बहुत से बच्चे मतलब साथ में जुड़े हैं, हम सब साथ में मिलके पढ़ते हैं, पढ़ाते हैं, नए नए बच्चे यहाँ पर पढ़ने को आते हैं, हमने यहाँ पर आके मतलब वर्क हार्ड सीखा है, और ये एक टाइप से एक संस्था ही नहीं है, ये हमारे मतलब घरों से जुड़ी है, और हम इसे एनजीओ भी नहीं बोल सकते हैं, ये हमारी लाइफ का एक पार्ट है.
So basically what the students are trying to tell us, here we are a sort of a family which has come together to, I think, collaborate, to help each other, to understand each other's emotions properly, or maybe how the backgrounds are working in the background, and how academically we are pushing each other in the family, in sort of a holistic growth of all of us here. And what students are trying to also make a point here, where this is not just an organization, but this is a home, a sort of a home, which is also associated with their family members, and it's sort of a community that we are building together, and sort of a relationship in the community.
Enjoy में हम night stay में बड़ा मजा आता है, जब party होती है तब भी हम उसको enjoy करते हैं.
और सारे फ्रेंड्स अगर इकट्ठे हो तो बहुत ज़्यादा मज़ा आता है.
सबके साथ मजे करते बातें करते
इंजॉय
सब कुछ हर बातें अपनी शेयर करते एक दूसरे के साथ यहाँ पे आके
बेसिकली वी गेट अ स्पेस वेयर वी आर टुगेदर फॉर अ नाइट time where we know we are sharing with each other about our day-to-day update, we are talking about our emotions together. We basically get a space which we do not want to journalize into the category of hostel or some library 24/7, but this is a space which we call it as Samta Ghar. Samta Tillu is the organization, which means Tillu is the small village who we are working for. Samta, we are all samane, we are all equal, and we're learning from each other. So the Samta Ghar symbolizes the exact emotion here, which says that this is a ghar, this is a home, which is equal for all of us, and we all have the equal right and space to share things vulnerably and to be themselves.
Samta Tillu is an organization. It got named Samta Tillu because where it's situated is the name of the place, is Tillu. And it is a place who provides a very good study environment. All of us are studying, and it is really enjoyable to study together. The head Devyanidhi, she is really humble. She always help us to study, and it was really nice to have a teacher like her. Mm. And Samta Tillu believes in learn and teach. A lot of students learns here, and a lot of volunteers who try very hard to teach others, and it provides a really good environment of study. That's it.
And
my name is Arjun, and I am a member of this organization also.
Thanks, Arjun.
थोड़ी आजादी सी फील होती है और हमें यहाँ पे कोडिंग भी सिखाई गई जो कि हमने अपनी जिंदगी में पहली बार सीखी थी. हमारे लिए बाहर से 3 वॉलंटियर्स आए थे जिन्होंने हमें कोडिंग सिखाई थी और उनकी कोडिंग सीखते सीखते हमें बहुत मज़ा आया.
थैंक यू.
सो आई थिंक ईशान इज़ टॉकिंग अबाउट द कोडिंग विच इज़ ऑल्सो अ स्किल सेट विच वी ट्राई टू प्रोवाइड थ्रू आर डिफरेंट स्टूडेंट लीडर्स फ्रॉम अदर ऑर्गनाइजेशंस एंड अदर स्कूल्स. सो दीज वर 3 वॉलंटियर्स फ्रॉम टीच फॉर इंडिया दिल्ली एंड दे जेनरसली स्पेयर टाइम टू स्पेंड विद समता टिल्लू विद द टिल्लू किड्स एंड दे ट्राई टीचिंग कोडिंग टू फोर ऑफ आर स्टूडेंट्स ऑफ एज ग्रुप आई थिंक 8 to 13.
समता टिल्लू में आकर बहुत खुशी मिलती है और यहाँ पर पढ़ाई भी बहुत अच्छी होती है. जो हमारे जूनियर हैं जो हमें समझाते हैं हमें बहुत अच्छा लगता है. थैंक यू.
सो वी बेसिकली हैव सीनियर और वी कैन से बड़े दीदी भैयास फॉर ऑल द जूनियर स्टूडेंट्स स्मॉल स्टूडेंट्स. सो प्रीशा हियर इज ट्राइंग टू टेल अस दैट देर आर मेंटर्स that really really try to help them figure out their homeworks and anything related to their school curriculum.
I hope this interview has helped capture the essence of the Samta Tillu community and their welcoming family that I had the joy of experiencing. If you'd like any more information about Samta Tillu, the best way to follow their journey is through social media, which is in the episode notes. Please let me know if you have any more questions for Devyani or the students, and I would love to connect you with them. Thank you so much for listening.